Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, picking up where we were last time, reading verse 18 and 19. "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you. Lord, I am so thankful to be a servant of the King, so thankful that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So privileged to be able to come today before these people and to preach your word and to tell them what Jesus Christ can do for them. And again, Lord, I thank you and praise you. In that wonderful and precious name of Jesus, amen. This passage here, this certain ruler that came and said, "My daughter's dead, but come and lay your hands on her and she shall live." In Mark chapter 5, we find the same story told. And we get a little bit more information. His name is Jairus. And the story is often told of Jairus' daughter being healed. On his way, the woman with the issue of blood comes and interrupts him on his way, touching the hem of his garment. Then after that's done, after she's miraculously healed, he continues on his way and he goes to Jairus' house and he does exactly what was asked. He lays his hands upon her, and the daughter comes alive and is presented, and of course everyone is very happy. But looking at these couple of verses, we've got a man that says, "Lord, my daughter's dead, but come and pray, and she shall live." As we study the Word of God, we have to look at the entire or whole counsel of God. We can't take a verse or two by itself. Now, please understand that this is wonderful. Jesus is asked to come and heal the dead daughter. On his way, he stopped. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." This man, Jairus, exhibited great faith. The woman with the issue of blood exhibited great faith. And then when he finally gets there, the Lord heals this girl. That's fantastic. That's marvelous. We need to preach that kind of message again and again and again, because Jesus can do all of these things and more. But as we look deeper, we'll find something even more wonderful. It's been said that the Word of God is like an onion. You can peel the onion, and then you can start cooking. You want to chop with it, or if it's a pearl onion, you just throw it in, or what have you. But you can peel another layer of the onion, and another layer, and etc. And obviously the analogy falls apart when you get to the middle and there's no more onion left. But it says that his ways, God's ways, are past finding out. And as we study the New Testament, for instance, we cannot do so in a vacuum. We have to take the Old Testament into account. And again, if we're just looking at the New Testament, we see in Matthew this story. Well, it's also told in the book of Mark, for instance. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. What does this verse mean, this passage? What have you, whatever passage you stumped on? Look in another gospel. Look in the epistles. Look in the Psalms. Look in Deuteronomy, perhaps, or Kings, or something. And you will find your interpretation, again, from the Bible. But again, we understand the form of this. There's some offspring that is dead. Jesus goes to heal. And along the way, there's someone that grabs hold of him. And then later on, the daughter, or what have you, is raised from the dead. 2 Kings, chapter 4. And I've taught on this before, and I'm very happy to be able to do so again. I simply love Kings and other historical books. The stories that are told, again, in themselves, they're wonderful. But then you begin to dig deeper and you see the Lord Jesus Christ. You see types and shadows. You see prophecy and etc. But picking up the narrative, again, 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him, or made him, to eat bread, made him stay for supper, what have you. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by continually. Let us make a little chamber, a little bedroom, perhaps a little spot in the barn or whatever the case was, out back, it says by the wall. And let us set up for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day, in verse 11, that he came in thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. This is Elisha the prophet stopping off at this couple's house. Got a little place out back, little maybe a garage apartment or something of that nature. There's some little place made for him, specifically for him, the man of God, as he travels. And he came, and he stopped, and he's laying there, and taking a rest or whatever, siesta. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? You know, you've been kind to us. Every time we pass through, it's a hard journey. We stop. We rest for the afternoon or the night or whatever. You give us a couple of meals. You know, we'd like to repay you for your kindness. And he says, Do you want us to tell the king about you? Or maybe the general, the captain of the host? Maybe there's something special that they could do for you. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, she knew her stature. She knew her place. She was content to not bother the king. She didn't think that she was important enough to bother the king or the captain of the host or whatever. And in verse 14, Elisha asked Gehazi, Well, what are we going to do for her? And he says, Well, you know, her husband's old and they don't have no children. And he said, Well, call her. And she came and stood in the door, and he prophesied and said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, "No, Lord. I know you're a man of God, but don't lie unto your handmaid." I mean, you know, I'm old, he's older. You know, we've lived all this time, and, you know, it's been disappointing, and etc. I could tell my whole story, but don't go getting my hopes up. Don't lie to me. But it says in verse 17 that the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. We understand 9 months. We understand how that works. That in itself is a great miracle. But in verse 18, it says that he was grown up a bit, and he went out to his father, to the reapers. In other words, the father was a farmer. It's time of the harvest. They're cutting the stuff down and what have you, carrying it to the barn. And he goes out, and it's hot. And it says, "My head, my head." He complains about his head. He got a sunburn, what have you. He got a sunstroke, what have you. It was just too hot. And he went back to the house. Mama held him all morning, it says, but around lunchtime, he died. What do you do? Kid dies. What do you do? But she remembered that this was a child of promise. And it says, verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. That little shed out back next to the barn or wherever it was. Took the dead child, laid him on the bed of Elisha, the prophet of God. Shut the door and went out. Then she called her husband and said, "Send me and one of the young men, and let's get some asses, some horses, would have you, to travel on, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said in verse 23, "Why are you going today? It's not the new moon, it's not the Sabbath, I mean, it's, you know, Tuesday, you know, what are you doing now?" And she said, "It shall be well." Her son's dead. She says, "I want to go to the man of God and to allay his fears." Now, she didn't tell him what the deal was. She just said, "It shall be well." That's faith. That's wonderful faith. But then they go. Her and the servant, they go. They went to Mount Carmel. They found Elisha the prophet. And there's a lot here. Gehazi is sent with Elisha's staff to go back and lay the staff upon the kid's face. But that didn't heal the kid. Elisha had to go himself. And it says that he went in to where the kid was, laying on his bed. And he lay down on top of the kid. And then he went out, and it says he went back and forth. Maybe he prayed. I understand sometimes people like to kneel and pray, or maybe lay down and pray, or what have you, prostrate. I like to walk and pray. That's how I do it. I'm assuming that he was praying. But then he went back, and he laid back down on top of the dead child. And it says that the kid sneezed 7 times. And open his eyes. And the kid was raised from the dead. Again, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful miracle. But let's look a little deeper. When she was riding with the servant to Mount Carmel, they looked and they saw she was coming. And in verse 26, Gehazi is told to run to her and say, "Is it well? Are you doing okay? Is your husband doing okay? Is the kid okay?" And she said, "It is well." Again, the kid at this point is still dead, and she's saying, just as she testified and confessed before, "It is well." But in verse 27, "And when she came to the man of God under the hill, she caught him by the feet grabbed hold of his ankles, would have you. But Gehazi, Elisha's servant, came, it says, to thrust her away. I mean, don't you understand this is the man of God? What are you doing grabbing his feet, woman? But Elisha said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And notice what it says, the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Remember that. Remember that passage. She comes and grabs him by the ankles, hangs on for dear life. Elisha's servant or disciple says, look, woman, go away. Quit crowding the man. Let go of his feet. But Elisha says, leave her alone. She's got a reason to be hanging onto my feet. Her soul is vexed within her. And he was a prophet. But he said, God hid it from me. Didn't tell me what it is that she's riding all this way, huffing and puffing, as fast as they could drive the animals. Then she comes up and falls upon his feet. God didn't tell Elisha what it was. He had no idea what it was about. But again, to pick up the story again, they go, and the child is healed. But going back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, again, they're on the way to Jairus, to his house, to heal the daughter. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Just as the Shunammite woman reached out and touched Elisha's feet, and Elisha had no clue what this was about because God hadn't showed it to him. In the other passage in Mark, when the woman with the issue of blood came behind and touched his garment, he said, who hath touched me? Somebody touched me, Jesus said, but he didn't know who it was. For he said, I perceive that virtue, or the power of God, the healing virtue of God, flowed out of him. Again, what happened in 2 Kings, where that woman fell on Elisha's feet, and Elisha didn't know what it was about. That is a picture, a foreshadowing, a prophecy in picture form of what happened with this woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood had faith to touch his garment, just as the Shunammite had. But again, in Mark it says that Jesus, when he was touched, he had no idea what it was about. Now, this is Jesus, God come in the flesh. If Elisha was a prophet, certainly God knew all things, but he didn't know. And he had to ask, who touched me? And to me, that's a wonderful thing. To me, that shows that the Old Testament and the New Testament go together. And there's a deepness and a richness to Scripture that if you dig, you'll find it. And again, you can't take the Old Testament by itself or the New Testament by itself, because you won't understand it. You'll think you get a little bit, but you really don't understand it. But at verse 23 of chapter 9 of Matthew, they finally get to Jairus' house. And he said to the minstrels, Jesus did, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, just like the Shunammite woman's son was raised from the dead when Elisha went in and laid upon him. Now you say, why was the prophet laying down on a dead child? All of the Old Testament, everywhere you look, really, you'll find pictures of Jesus Christ. The boy was dead, and it was Elisha's cot that the dead child was laid upon. That's Elisha's cot. He belongs there. But there's a dead child laying in his bed, and so he lays down and stretches out the kid's arms and puts his hand to his hand, and his mouth to his mouth, what have you. He laid down, face down, on that dead child who was face up. And it says that he got up and went walk around a bit and came and laid down on the dead child. And it says the kid sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes and, hey, I'm alive again. Again, this is a picture, a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus said a number of times that he came to this earth to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. That was his place, to go to the cross. That was his mission. The cross, an instrument of death. And we understand, although Elisha was face down, the Roman soldiers, they took that cross, we assume, and laid it on the ground. And just like that dead boy was laying down, face up, they put Jesus face up on the cross, stretched out his arms, and nailed him to the cross. Elisha's actions pictured that. But you say, why did he do it twice? Why did he lay down on the dead child and get up and walk around for a while and come back? Why did it take 2 times of laying on the dead child before the kid rose from the dead? We understand that Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he died at 3 p.m. These times coincided with the daily sacrifice, the morning sacrifice at 9, and the evening sacrifice at 3. And again, what Elisha did, the 2 trips to lay down on the child, pictured Jesus Christ. And again, the times coincide with the morning and the evening sacrifice. So I would encourage you, as you study the Word of God, study deeper. Study other books. Get a concordance. Try and find whatever passage you're studying. Try and find some other passage, something in the New Testament, something in the Old. Try and study it out. Try and seek it out to get a bigger picture, a deeper understanding. And you'll come away with a greater vision of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just to
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.